message from our devoted leader, Big Brother. Comrades, repeat after me. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. Comrades, in a moment you will hear the despised Goldstein, whose shadowy army conspires to destroy our new, happy life. Listen to his lies, comrades. Then show him what you think.
Friends, countrymen of Oceania, I am Emmanuel Goldstein, your ex-leader and still your friend. I am still fighting for your liberty, your freedom, your hope. I am no traitor. In the past, I was one of the leaders of your revolution. Today, I am in hiding, sometimes in exile, but eternally working for your liberation. Big Brother is false to you. He usurped power. He is a ruthless, bloody tyrant. He lies. He talks of a new happy life while he starves your bodies and denies your souls. Remember that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Remember the past. Cast off your chains. Free yourselves. Down with Big Brother. Down with Big Brother.
If you've just tuned in, it is Phoenix FM. We haven't been taken over, but... well, in a sense, we've been taken over because I'm joined by some of the guys from Early Doors Productions. Amy, Laura, Justin and Darren are with me to talk about their forthcoming production of George Orwell's 1984. Good morning to you guys.
Morning.
I was just sort of sitting here thinking, my goodness, if somebody's just switched on the radio, what on earth are they going to be thinking? But don't panic. Amy, you are directing this.
Correct.
Why 1984?
Well, I love the book. It's a very, very strong, clear message that's very relevant to today. And we also hadn't attempted a sci-fi, which is ultimately what it is. And that is something we wanted on
That's
the CV.
That's an interesting thought, because you've done such... I always say, whenever you guys come in, such a variety of different things that you put on. But sci-fi, yeah, that's a new
We definitely try to. And we knew that was one of the pigeonholes that we hadn't attempted. So, yeah, as soon as it was available, we knew it was the one for us.
So you talked about this message. What do you think the message is?
Well, for Orwell, it wasn't what he believed the future would be. It was what he believed could be. Mm-hmm. And it was the fear of the way the world's evolving, that we would eventually be in a society where you are constantly scrutinised. So you are constantly watched and your actions are judged by a higher party. And basically, free thought is illegal. You need to think a certain way and behave a certain way. And in that environment, it can be controlled how the party that's in charge see it to be controlled.
And do you think there is any relevance to the world we live in?
Oh yeah, we're practically there. We're there in a very trivialised sense, but with the whole social media, CCTV, we are watched.
The technology's there, isn't it?
Definitely.
And that is quite frightening.
Yeah, I think we are watched far more than people were aware of, and our actions are scrutinised, either for fun or otherwise. For example, Big Brother, where Orwell describes that character, and obviously it's coming to a program now. I mean, we sit there and watch people live, how bizarre, instead of living our own lives, and either for enjoyment or for scrutiny.
And that's really part of everyday life now, isn't it?
Quite right.
So in that sense, yeah, that is quite true. Darren, you play Winston. Amy talked about obviously the book, which is what 1984 is obviously famous for. But what's the background to it being on the stage?
As far as playing Winston is concerned?
Well, generally, so in terms of 1984.
1984 being on the stage?
Yes.
Well, it's been on the stage a number of times over the years. Lots of people have attempted to adapt it in lots of different ways. It's a challenging adaptation, certainly, because so much, even though the book's written third person, so it's not literally in Winston's head, it follows Winston around, and it's so much his point of view. But when you perform it on stage, you really want the audience to be able to enter his mindset, but at the same time see it through the experiences of other characters as well. It can't solely be Winston talking the whole time. It would be a very boring experience. It needs to be a much more visceral experience than that. And that's certainly one of the challenges of adapting it, I think.
So that is quite a challenge, I guess, because in the novel, you can obviously do things, or in any novel, you can do things and portray messages and things that are very, very different on the stage. But it has been put on the stage before. Are you putting on your own twist to this?
Probably best to talk to Amy about that, but certainly I've never known Amy to put something
on. She's always got her own way of doing it. And I certainly think this is the case again. Her own vision of 1984. Certainly.
Rightly or wrongly, I'm just stubborn. You know that, right? we're trying. There's quite a few places that the play takes you to, but I wanted to keep it as minimal in terms of scene changes as possible. So everywhere that Winston goes, we do see as an area on the stage that never particularly moves. What the challenge is for Darren, I mean, fortunately, I'm very lucky to have Darren because he's a fantastic actor, but he does not leave the stage. So for him, it's a huge challenge. Not only is he developing as a character, he's moving from one place to another where people are greeting him, and he doesn't actually get any relief. His character is developing in front of you over the 2-hour period.
Is there anything that you're looking for the audience to take away with them? Are you looking to, not exactly to portray a message, but or perhaps you are, I don't know.
Fear and loathing of authority. No, not that. War is peace.
And stir people up to revolution.
Yeah. Just an awareness more than anything. We like to move people, whether it's a negative movement or a positive movement. We want people to come away and think about, okay, that society, although in Orwell's head, is still very relevant to where we are now. And maybe we should think about the things we do say and who's listening and who's not, and maybe live our lives a little bit more for us than what else is going on.
I mean,
I guess
as a sort of a topical example, the Facebook messages by the Labour MP who recently had to apologise, things like that that you can just sort of do so easily, because it's so easy just to push a few buttons, isn't it?
Quite right.
And then, you know, these things have a lasting impact. So
that's right.
That is part of the message, I guess. Look, we need to take a break, but I'm very keen to carry on chatting with you. Going to bring you in, Laura, in just a moment to find out about your character, the other lead character. And Justin, looking forward to finding out some of the things you've got planned after 1984, because there is life after 1984 as well. So we will be back in just a moment.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Just coming up to 10 to 11, the Feel Good Saturday with Alan Johnson, chatting with Darren, Amy, Laura and Justin from Early Doors Productions about their forthcoming production of 1984. Darren, I'm just working on the assumption that some people who come to see it may not have read the original story. So just very briefly, tell us who your character Winston is.
Yes, certainly.
It's obviously very important to the whole thing.
Winston works for the party, so he works for the Ministry of Truth. And part of his job is to falsify documents so that they match with government expectations. It's a job that he's extremely disillusioned with, and although he was very young when the revolution happened, he has vague recollections of what life was like before the revolution. He's very nostalgic for that, and he wants to find out more, and he's just got this feeling inside that things must have been better, and so very quietly he's trying to revolt against what the government expects. And quite early on in the book and in the play, he meets a character, Julia, who he is distrustful of to begin with, but who he starts to form a relationship with, and things escalate from there, really, as he attempts to build this protest against Big Brother.
This is quite a big theme, isn't it? The whole question of trust and Julia we have with us as well, played by Laura. Tell us a little bit about Julia, Laura.
As Darren said, she is working with Winston in the Ministry of Truth to start with, and he's very wary of her. She's been watching Winston for a long time, so she's kind of seen him and then wants to work with him in the Ministry of Truth. And then their relationship develops from there. Really, her objective is, although she agrees with Winston and she is against the party as well, she believes in love and she loves Winston, and really her objective is to be with him throughout the play. So that's where she goes, and that's the journey that happens. And I think she's actually a catalyst for a lot of things that happen to Winston, and the change that he makes in himself really comes from what Julia pushes him to do.
Obviously, 1984 is quite a frightening story. It is quite, would you call it depressing? It's not
parts of it, but I think actually what Winston and Julia have is actually really real. So for the audience, they can watch a relationship develop and they can invest in what the two of them have together, the characters, which actually makes the ending, not that I'll spoil too much of it, but actually makes it harder to watch, because when you've invested in characters and it's natural and you can see the love forming, then if they're apart, then it's harder to watch that, I think. So I suppose Winston and Julia are parts of it, are the slightly happier or more, I don't know, natural and realistic part of it. So rather than it just being like, down with Big Brother, down with this, throughout the whole time.
Yeah. And Justin, don't give too much away, but you are O'Brien.
I am indeed, yeah.
Tell us about him.
Well, O'Brien is an inner party member, so that means he's above most people who are in the play. And Julia sees him as...
Typecasting again, isn't it?
Julia sees him as a friend. She thinks she can trust him and
she so thinks she can trust him.
Yeah, O'Brien think and things being like the word.
And they... Yeah, it's a difficult one because he... I think that 1984, it's a warning more than anything. When you said, is it a depressing story, I suppose it can be depending on what you take from it. You know, if you take the hint and the warning, then hopefully it's not. You know, it could be a catalyst for you yourself to go off and say, right, I want to do something different. But O'Brien, I don't think O'Brien's a bad guy, and I don't think the audience will either. That's what I'm going to leave it.
Let's just leave it there. Look, we are rapidly running out of time, but going beyond 1984, I had a look on your website, and you're already showing things that you've got in the pipeline right up to 2018?
Yeah, September, I think it's the
15, 16, 17.
So we're doing One Man, Two Governors. That'd be at the Cranbourne Theatre as well. And then in December, we're
one,
doing...
1, 2, 3.
December 1, 2, 3. We're doing A Christmas Carol, and that's going to be Ingatestone Hall, which we've done Dracula there and things like that. So, but Christmas time, Christmas Carol, Ingatestone Hall will be fabulous.
That's on the 1st, the 2nd and 3rd of December.
It's just
to translate.
Yeah. So, you know, we're hoping to cash in on that one. And we're doing it for the passion. And then, yeah, then the following year we'll be doing, at some point, Macbeth, but the start of the year we're going to be doing Heaven Can Wait.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's...
Is that your first Shakespeare?
That will be our first Shakespeare, yeah.
Why are you planning so far in advance?
Sometimes it's just to get the actors, because, you know, as I'm sure you're aware, there's lots of very good drama companies in the area and stuff like that. And we're very blessed to be able to
pick and choose
and get great, you know, not just, obviously, you've got Darren and Laura here, we've got Bill Wells in this show, we've got Paul Sparrowham in it, we're going to get Lionel Bishop back for other things, and yeah, just to get people of that calibre, you kind of have to get in very early. And as Amy said, you know, we're doing this because it's a sci-fi, but, you know, it's a great story to do. And so sometimes just we just pick far ahead because, you know, you kind of want just a good story. You know, Heaven Can Wait, if people don't know it, it's a brilliant story. Obviously, most people, everybody knows Christmas Carol. One Man, Two Governors, which we said, you know, sold out shows in London. So, it, yeah, we just try and pick the plays that we want to do, and because we know what we want to do, it's able to go that far ahead and get the actors
and
in early.
And you always do a great job. Look, we have run out of time, but Amy, I realise that we haven't actually said when or where people can see 1984.
1984 is the 12th, 13th and 14th of May at the Cranbourne Theatre in Chelmsford. You can go onto their website online to get tickets. You can go onto earlydoors.org and get tickets online there. Or you can call the box office on 01245 606 505.
Fantastic, and that is going to be absolutely brilliant. I've been to a number of your productions over the years, and each one very, very different, but each one equally excellent. So,
and I didn't even pay you to say that, Alan, did I?
You didn't indeed. Absolutely mean that. Amy, Justin, Darren and Laura, thank you so much for popping in this morning.